If you stop and think and reflect, what is your earliest memory? And you don't have to say it out loud, but just think back. The earliest memory that you have, what would that be? And as you recall that memory, you might know that your parents can remember even earlier in your life than that. Your parents can probably remember when you were born, especially your mother probably remembers that. But that wasn't the beginning of your life. Neither was your first memory the beginning of your life. Your life began at the moment of conception. Your life began as a single cell, but it didn't stay that way for very long. Infused with a soul, it immediately started to multiply. But even at that very beginning of your life, everything that you needed for your life was there in a way. If we think about it with regards to our DNA, it gives instructions on how our bodies are to be made. It's the DNA of a human being, unique and separate from the parents. And it reveals your uniqueness in your body. And your soul is there too, because the soul is what animates the body. It's what gives it life, gives it motion. And so today we are celebrating the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced the good news. Mary said yes to God's plan. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she conceived our Lord Jesus Christ. What we celebrate today is the beginning of the Incarnation. Now, the Incarnation means that God became man. He became incarnate. He became in the flesh. He became human. And so, yes, we celebrate that at Christmas. We celebrate that at his birthday. But we also celebrate it at the very beginning of his life. 9 months earlier, approximately. Sometimes the annual liturgical calendar is adjusted based upon things. Typically, we would celebrate the Annunciation on March 25th. But as you know, this is not March 25th. It's April 8th. Why did that happen? How did that happen? Well, March 25th landed during Holy Week. And so Holy Week was a higher priority, preparing us to recognize the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. But this celebration is too important to just miss it. So we pushed it off until the octave of Easter was over, and now we are celebrating how our Lord became flesh at the moment of his conception, when Mary said yes to God's plan as Gabriel had revealed it to her. This plan is a plan of mercy. We might recall that all of humanity had fallen away from God through sin. And God's plan was to pour out his mercy upon us by first becoming human and then making a perfect gift of his life on the cross to make up for all of the sins of all of humanity for all time. And so this conception of our Lord is part of this plan of mercy, part of this plan of helping us be in good relationship again with the Lord. Not too long ago, April 2nd, we had our special day of prayer for the pro-life cause, prayer to help protect our state constitution, to prevent it from being altered to allow for abortion. And some of you have probably seen in the back, we had a small little basket with these little dolls of what a 12-week-old child would look like. And if you've taken a look at those things, you probably saw that it has a head and eyes, a mouth, a nose, fingers, toes. Quite clearly, we see in that little doll, which represents what a 12-week-old would look like, it's a human being. Very clear. And we believe that from the moment of conception. Not just because our faith says that, but because that's what science reveals. Like I said, all of the DNA for your entire body is there from the moment of conception. And Jesus humbled himself. He became completely human. Even the God of the universe, for a brief moment, was only in the body of a single cell. And so we're celebrating that great mercy, that great love that our Lord has for us. But we're also celebrating Mary's yes. When Gabriel presented this to her, when he presented God's plan, Mary could have said no. But she said yes to God's plan. Even though it would have been awkward, even though it would have been difficult, she and Joseph were married, but in those times, marriage started with a first phase, betrothal, which lasted about a year, so that the husband can then prepare a home, and then, at the end of that year, come and bring his wife with him into his home. And everybody then celebrates the beginning of that second stage of marriage. So they were already married, but they weren't living together yet. And so for Mary to become pregnant was unusual. It was out of the normal pattern of things. And a lot of people were suspicious of her. A lot of people judged her. A lot of people didn't understand what was going on. And even if she told them, they probably wouldn't have believed her. There are so many young women who find themselves in awkward positions and difficulty, a pregnancy that is out of the usual pattern of things. But we want them to still say yes to that life within them, to still say yes to God's plan of continuing to carry that child all the way to birth and beyond. We are pro-life. We are for life. Even if that life comes about in an awkward way, even if that life comes about in a way that doesn't follow the usual pattern. Because all human beings are made in the image of God, and they have a certain dignity that needs to be respected and protected. And so as we celebrate the Annunciation, we also celebrate not only our Lord becoming human, but also Mary's yes to God's plan. God has a plan for each and every one of us, a way to bring us to himself in holiness. And today we are also going to hand off the Vocations Chalice, recognizing that God calls certain individuals to special vocations, the most common one being marriage and family life, but there are others, such as priesthood and religious life, and we want to be open to anything that God may be asking of us. Today being as special as it is, when we recite the Creed and we get to the part where the Word became flesh, we are going to genuflect. You might remember we do that at Christmas too. We're going to do that today as well, because we believe the Annunciation, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we reach the point where it says that in similar words in the Creed, we're all going to genuflect. So let us take a moment to rejoice in the great mercy of God and to consider how we can give a better yes to the Lord and his plan for our life as we prepare to meet him in the most holy Eucharist.